You have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so glad that you have joined me on today, and I thank God that you are here with me on today as another beautiful session in the Lord. Today, the Lord, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. Truly, God is great, and he is greatly to be praised. And I'm so excited about you. Yes, you, child of God. God has a blessing for you on today. Today's our lesson is going to be centered around the law of the harvest. We want to be talking about the harvest of God. We reap whatever we sow, and the harvest in the proportion to the amount we invest in the Lord and in his kingdom. Today, we're going to look at our scripture reference. It's going to be over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verses 5 to 15. And it reads on this line, "Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that we will go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye have noticed before that the same might be ready as the master of bounty and not as covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly will reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him be, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he that giveth to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruit of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. While by the expedient of this ministration, they glorify God for your possessed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayers for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Now, let's take a look today at our lesson, because we're going to be looking at the principle of readiness and the principle of the harvest and the principle of cheerful and free will giving. And then the principle of grace and the principle of thanksgiving. And as we begin to look at this, and as we invite you to consider as to living your life through the principles of God, you will see the blessings of God being released greatly into your life. And so let's take a look here at our lesson today. When someone mentions the word giving, what is the first thing that comes to mind? It is, here is another request for money, or it is, how am I going to do this? These responses are probably common ones, or we could think, here is another opportunity to bless the work of God and to be blessed of him. So when we begin to put our thoughts in the right perspective, as opposed to saying, oh, here they go again asking for more money, as opposed to saying, you know, this is another opportunity for me to bless the kingdom of God or sow a seed into the kingdom of God. And I would like to think in terms of another opportunity to bless the work of God and to be blessed of him. And because it's a double-fold blessing, when you bless the work of God, God's going to bless you, child of God. And that's why the scripture always lets us know that he loves a cheerful giver. And we'll talk more about that. But let's continue on in our lesson today. It's not just about putting money in the offering plate. It's about how giving blesses us both in this world and in the one to come. Giving is a spiritual work. It is a unique opportunity for everyone to bless others with the promise of being blessed in return. This principle has so much potential to propel a child of God upward, both financially and both spiritually. Now, the scripture command believers to give a tithe of their increase because the first fruit belongs to the Lord. It always already belonged to him. And as good stewards, we acknowledge his ownership of the tithe. And we talked about that in our lesson on the law, the grace of liberality. We must recognize that the tithe belongs to the Lord. And that is the command of the Lord because they belong to him. And that we must be good stewards of what belongs to the Lord. However, it is in the giving of additional offering that we truly govern how we must bless God's work on the earth and how much we receive in return from God. For it involves God's fundamental principle of sowing and reaping. That is, what one sow, he also or she also will reap. And what they will reap is in proportion of the quantity and quality of what is sown. It is the law of the harvest. And so here, looking at deeply into the law of the harvest, we must recognize that when we sow in the quantity and the quality, that's what is going to come back to us. If we sow sparingly, well, sparingly it's going to come back to you. But if you sow bountifully, it bountifully is going to come back into your bosom. Amen? And now let's look at the other piece here, the principle of the law of readiness. In the ninth chapter of the second book of Corinthians, Paul reminded them of an offering he had initiated in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 to 3, to help the poor saints in Jerusalem. He had instructed the Corinthians to collect an offering every Sunday and set it aside for the purpose of blessing these fellow believers in the time of need. Paul had gone on to Macedonia and had told them about the Corinthians' desire to give liberally to this cause. That positive testimony had inspired the Macedonians to give abundantly to the same cause. However, a year had passed and it was a time to receive the offering of the Corinthians. Paul was coming to the Corinth church to receive that giving, their giving, and it was likely that some of the Macedonians would be traveling there with him. To assure that the Corinthians would not be embarrassed, Paul sent the brethren ahead to help them prepare for this offering, lest our boasting be of you should be in vain, that we may be ready. Now, 2 Corinthians 9:3. This example of Paul preparing the Corinthian church to give illustrates the necessity of planning ahead so that we may give liberally and not become because of guilt. How often have we been moved to give to a certain cause only to realize regretfully that we do not have significant funds to give? God does not expect us to give that which we do not have. 2 Corinthians 8:12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that which he hath not. Therefore, it is imperative that we position ourselves so that we can give, which involves advanced planning. It is not about the ability to give as much as the availability to give. God expects us to be wise stewards of our finances. Often we do not have significant funds to give to a cause. It is because of inadequate management of our money. Good financial planning assures that our expenses do not exceed our income, and for the believer is ensured that there are extra funds available for giving to the work and the cause of Jesus Christ and his church. The scripture states, therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they will go before you unto you and make up beforehand your bonding, whereof ye have not noticed that the same might be ready as a matter of bonding and not as of covetousness. 2 Corinthians 9:5. Well, what is talking about the bonding, as according to a Greek word translated as eulogia, which means or includes the possible meaning of the idea of consecrate, blessing, benefit. When a believer gives, it is a blessing both to others and to them. In order to give, we must first have something to give. Perhaps the first practical step for a person is to ensure that their debts are minimal so that they are not financially strapped and that they're able and available funds for giving. If a person is struggling with excessive debt, perhaps they should examine their spending habit and attitude towards money. Overspending often is connected with selfishness. Many miracles in the Bible required at least minimal giving prior to receiving the miracle. The widow had to make Elijah a little cake first. 1 Kings 17:13. Jesus fed 5,000 men only after a little lad offered his lunch. And that's found over in John 6:9. If we expect God to bless our finance, we must have some money that is available for him to use. When we set aside a regular amount to give an offering beyond our tithe, we will not feel pressure or guilt when opportunities to give arise. There will be available funds there because we have already prepared and set something aside for that giving. Now, let's look at the principle of the harvest. 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. 2 Corinthians 9:6. What a wonderful but true promise Paul offered in 2 Corinthians 9:6. If we give bountifully, we shall also reap bountifully. Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Luke 6:38. The Lord will not equal our giving, but he will exceed it. When we give from our resources to the Lord's cause, he will also meet our needs abundantly. There is no better saving or investment plan into which one can deposit their money. Now, there was a saying that even Walmart, one of the largest companies in the world, learned that giving back to those within their structure reaps gigantic benefits for all. Their plan of profit sharing allows the employee to team up with the management and the owner. The decision to commit ourselves to giving the associate more equitable treatment in the company was without a doubt the single smartest move we could ever make there. That's what the company said. Using a formula based on the profit growth, we contribute a percentage of every eligible associate wages for his or her plan, which the associate can take when they leave the company. And things, and they come to find out that it was a tremendous blessing for them and that they was operating in the law of harvest. The principle of the law of harvest, it works, whether it's giving money, time, or our energy to the cause of Jesus Christ. The results are the same. The one giving is blessed. If this principle works so well with in regards to finance, how much more will it work with the regards to spiritual investment? When Peter watched the rich man and ruler leave, he told Jesus that he had given their all and said, what shall we have thereof? Matthew 19:27. And Jesus replied that for everything that they have given up, it will be returned in 100-fold in this time and in this world to come, eternal life. Mark 10:29-30. This is 100% return, and now and more to come in eternity. Now, let's look here at the next principle, the principle of cheerful free will giving. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, 2 Corinthians 9:7. If we do not give with the right attitude, and this is very key, our giving will not profit us. An example of this is found in the first murder in the Bible, where Cain gave an offering because he had to, and Abel gave what God expected of a firstling of the flock and of the fat, Genesis 4:3-4. It all had to do with their individual attitude about obedience. God looked at Abel's offering and accepted it. But after looking at what Cain gave, God rejected it. Consequently, Cain's attitude spoiled and began to poison his entire outlook and spirit, and the response to the point that he rose up and slew his brother. True, believers should give from their heart, not just from their head. We should give because we are happily desired to do so. To give only because we sense a pressure to give or because it is our duty to give reduces giving to a carnal exercise and robs us from the intent of the spiritual benefit that God intended to bless us. So we want to go again and examine our attitude centered around our giving. And once we examine our attitude around our giving and begin to think in terms that we want to give out of a cheerful giver and having the right attitude and mindset so that we can reap the blessings from the Lord. But the heart of a true believer is generous and desire to bless others and bless the work of the Lord. Out of the heart flow the issues of life. We can find that over in Proverbs 4:23. Now, when we look at the heart is more keenly alert to God's will than our carnal reasoning. So when God speaks to our heart, we should cheerfully obey and give accordingly. Moreover, we can purpose in our heart intentionally to set some money aside for those charities for which we feel a keen burden, or as we give unto the house of the Lord, and even for the cause of God. This is not to suggest that we should give money when we have no available fund. Again, to be available to give from one's heart requires abundant planning. Otherwise, our lack of fund will cause our hearts to experience great disappointment when we are unable to participate in giving to the Lord. The child of God should give cheerfully from their heart. God examines a person's motives for giving. When God sees our genuine benevolence through our giving to the Lord and to others, it opens the way for us to receive benevolence, both from God and from others. God so loved the world that he gave freely and lovingly with all his heart, mind, and strength. However, a stingy heart is not open to receive the love that he gave. Jesus willingly offered himself for our salvation, and we are recipients of that particular thing that God had given unto us, of giving his life. Now, let's look at another point here. As we're looking at the law of harvest, we want to look at the principle of grace, and that God will supply the need, and God will multiply, and God will enrich. So when you give and give largely and give, God is going to supply your needs. He's going to multiply the seed, and he's going to enrich that which you've given and enrich you. And let's look at those several points here. The scripture over in 2 Corinthians 9:8 states, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." Now, in the midst of a world so sinful that God vowed to destroy every living thing that breathed, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis 6 and 8. God showed kindness and favor Noah by saving him and his family from destruction. Today, we again live in such a world, and a world that is filled with sin and plagued by the sin. But through the people of God are surrounded by sin, they will still receive help and deliverance from this world by God's grace. He will honor and bless those who love his cause. Malachi 3 and 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me wherewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, let's take a look here at point number A. God will supply. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8 revealed that God will see that we have all sufficiency in all things. In other words, God will supply what we need when we need it in insufficient quantity. Did the Lord not promise that if we will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you? Matthew 6 and 33. After commending the Philippians for their giving, Paul told them that God will supply all their needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4 and 19. When we are totally obedient to God and depend on him, he is obligated himself to take care of all our needs. Now, let's look at the other point we talked about. God will multiply. God will go beyond our supplying our needs, however. He will multiply the seeds that we sown and increase the fruit of our righteousness. 2 Corinthians 9 and 10. God wants to bless us both with natural blessing and spiritual blessing. We need to remember the Lord thy God, for he that giveth thee the power to get wealth. We find that over in Deuteronomy 8 and 18. He wants to go beyond what we deserve in that which he gives to us. Psalms 37 and 4 state, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, when we look at Psalms 37 and 4, the psalmist state that we should delight ourselves in the Lord, and he will give us the desires of our heart. God does not want us to just meet our needs. He don't want to just meet our needs, but he wants to exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, bless us. But in order for us to bless us, him to bless us in that abundancy and exceedingly, but he wants us to have the right attitude about blessing his work and blessing his house and things, because there's an abundancy that will come to you. He desired to supply all our desires as well as our needs. When we liberally in is abundant, God matches it with blessing that we cannot expect beyond our own expectation. He wants to enrich us in everything to all bountifulness. 2 Corinthians 9 and 11. Have you experienced the all bountifulness of God? Now, let's look at the other point. Point number C. God will enrich. Not only will he bless us abundantly, and not only will he multiply the seed, not only will he supply, but he wants to enrich our life. So you see the tiers of the blessing. Supply is one tier, multiply is another tier, and now enrich is the third tier. When God does bless us beyond expectation, the result is that we will have enough of our needs and also for the needs of others. Moreover, there will be sufficient ability to invest again, see it, here it is, in the Lord's harvest. So what he does, he gives us the abundance so that we can reinvest again in the Lord's harvest. So when you look around and see the abundancy of your blessing, God have an intention for you to reinvest that back into the harvest or back into the kingdom of God. God does not bless us for us to hoard it, or does he bless us for us to keep it to ourselves and utilize it only for ourselves. But he wants us to consider the man who died building a bigger barn so that he could relax and take ease for his life. That was not God's plan. When the rich ruler kind of kicked back and said, well, he's going to build him a barn and going to put it in the barn and going to take ease. No, God did not want him to do that. He wanted that to be reinvested back into the kingdom by giving to the poor, by giving to those that have need and things, by reinvesting it and blessing the house of the Lord. Luke 12, verses 16 and 21. God blesses us so we may continue a cycle of blessing and being blessed. As God increases our financial base, let us correspondingly increase our giving so that God's grace will be multiplied to and through us to others. So you see how that works, and things that as God entrusts us with more, God's entrusting us to give more and to invest more into his kingdom and have a good attitude and willingly to do it. And when we have that willingness to do it, he will willingly give back to us. Now, let's look at another principle. We just looked at the principle of grace. Now let's look at another principle here centered around the law of harvest, the principle of thanksgiving. And let's look at that, and let's look at some of the things that we would take a snapshot and look at. One is, because of giving, God is thanked. Another thing we'll look at is, because of giving, God is praised. And then we'll look at liberality results in prayers for the giver. Then we'll look at thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And all of this is centered around being thankful, the principle of thanksgiving. Now, let's take a look here at, because of giving, God is thanked. When we give abundantly, God blesses us abundantly. When people witness the blessing of God on us, we acknowledge him as the source of our blessing. He will receive the glory. After all, our primary purpose in life is to bring and give glory to God for all things. Now, when we look at Revelation 4 and 11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. They are and were created. And we find that again, Revelation 4 and 11. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, failed to acknowledge that his prosperity and power and kingdom were a direct result of God's favor. 7 years, God humbled him while he fed in the field like a beast until he reasoning returned. Then he blessed the Most High and praised him and honored him that liveth forever. We find that over in Daniel 4 and 34 states that. Let us be careful to be like the Samaritan leper who, out of the 9 others who was cleansed, was the only one who returned and gave glory to the God, to God, to the Lord. Luke 17, verses 15 through 18. And so when God blesses our life, when we turn around and give God the glory and give God the praise for blessing us, even when we find favor in the marketplaces and people favor us, you know, stopping and giving God the glory that he touched that individual heart to favor us. Amen. Now, let's look at another point here. Because of giving, God is praised. When the recipient of our giving realize that we have obeyed God and liberally given to meet their needs, they will give praise to God. God is praised, and both the recipient and the givers are blessed. Now, the scripture over in 2 Corinthians 4 and 15 states, for all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving, here it is, thanksgiving, of many rebound into the glory of God. And so here he's saying, as you're praising God, and the rebound is going to be giving the praise unto God. And so here, now, let us take another look here at the liberality results in prayer for the givers. When we give to others, it makes a indelible impression on them. When they think about us, it reminds them that we were interested in their welfare. We did not just pray for them, but we added works to our faith and prayer. How many of us can remember someone who is special to us because they helped us in a difficult time of our needs, whether financially, whether emotionally, whether it's spiritual? We had a special feeling for them because they were sensitive to our needs and to God's prompting of them to obey what God was telling them to do, to be a blessing unto us. Then there is a double blessing when we give to the cause of God. We are blessed because of our liberality, but we are also doubly blessed because the person we helped out are of a thankful heart, because our sensitivity and things to give to them, now they will stand in the gap and pray for us because we honored what God put in our heart to do to bless them, and now they're going to pray for us because of our liberality. And so that's what happened, that we have people come in turn to pray for us because we was a blessing to them. And I know on a number of occasions when people sown into my life and blessed me and things and was a blessing unto me and things, I literally stand and just interceded and prayed for them because they was a blessing unto me, and how I was so grateful and humbled in my heart that they was a blessing. Now let's look at another point. It said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. It said, when we begin to reflect on the one who set the precedent and give the most, it prompts us to say over and over again, thank you, Lord Jesus. Think on the gift he has given us, but especially of the greatest gift of all, the gift of himself. No wonder Paul used the word unspeakable, for it means unutterable. There are no words to express what we feel and want to say about his divine gift of salvation. This song amply expressed the sentiment of our heart. And it goes on this light. When I think about the Lord and how he saved me and how he raised me and how he filled me with the Holy Ghost and how he healed me to the uttermost, when I think about the Lord and how he picked me up and turned me around and how he placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout, you know, hallelujah. And so we would say it, you know, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I praise God for saving me and things. And we go on to repeat that again. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Shalalawosheka. I praise God for saving me. And things, and so when we think about the goodness of the Lord and think of how good God has been unto us, we begin to rejoice and praise God for his goodness. Now, let's look at in our conclusion about the law of the harvest. We must recognize that these principles, and I just want to go over them real quickly again so that you will hear them in your hearing and begin to operate in these principles and watch God tremendously and bountifully bless your life. And the principle that we talked about was the principle of readiness. That was the first principle, being ready to give, making ourselves ready to give and to give bountifully and things. And then we talked about the principle of the harvest. And then we talked about the principle of a cheerful free will giving to the cause of God. And it's the scripture stated around that, with every man according to the how he purposed in their heart. So let them give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Then we talked about the principle of grace, and we talked about God will supply. We talked about God will multiply and how God will enrich our lives. And then we talked about the principle of thanksgiving. And we talked about because of our giving, God is being thanked. And then because of our giving also, God is being praised. And because of our liberality, it will be a result of prayers for the giver. And then finally, we talked about the thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift of giving himself. Now, in my conclusion of this particular lesson, the law of harvest is a principle that when we apply, invokes, here it is, child of God, it invokes a blessing for everyone involved. It invokes the blessing of the giver. It invokes a blessing for the receiver. And then it invokes a blessing ultimate to God. And so when you look at giving, it have a threefold purpose of a blessing that is attached to that thing. The giver is blessed, the receiver is blessed, and ultimately God is blessed for your giving. It works in the natural realm and is more importantly in the spiritual realm. And so it transfers kingdoms. When you give it over into God's kingdom, it transfers kingdom. It not only the investment is a threefold return, a dividends. We must prepare ourselves so that when the need arises, that here goes that law of readiness, we can give. This requires wise financial planning. This goes on, this give beyond our means because of our emotional pitch or sense of guilt is not pleasing to the Lord. But when we give it out of our abundance cheerfully, it blesses God. Not because the preacher or the man or woman of God is asking or someone have a need, but because out of my heart, out of your hearts, out of the bowels of your compassion, you give to bless the kingdom of God. And when God sees you give in that manner, then it invokes the blessings. The process sets in motion of your blessing. But when you sit there and say, oh, here they go asking for money again, I'm just going to give this money. Well, guess what? It does not invoke that threefold blessing that God wants to bestow on you, the giver. It cancels it out. So it's key for us to recognize why we're not living in the abundancy in which God wants us to and things. Because when you want it to be invoked, it comes about the mindset. Here it is again. We must prepare ourselves to do that. His desire is for us to plan carefully in advance and to give cheerfully from our ability. The result of our giving is manifold. First, the person on the receiving end is blessed. Then second, it creates a mutual beneficial bond between the recipient and the giver. And thirdly, God blesses the liberal giver and supplies all their needs and potentially all their desires. Fourth, it is rebounded to the glory of God. So if it's a rebound to the glory of God, then God liberally and supplies the giver and supply all their needs and their desires, then the recipient there is bountifully blessed, and whatever the need was needed, it has been met. And so as you look at those various types of blessing, how God wants to bless the child of God, then it gives us a greater understanding of how God wants to bless our life and overtake us with the blessings of the Lord. And so in my conclusion, I pray that the law of the harvest has given you a greater understanding of how you could be tremendously blessed. And now you can examine your own heart and mind to say, well, you know, I did give, but, you know, I gave with the wrong attitude. Or, Lord, I didn't give in the right manner and things. And that's why I don't see the blessing being evoked. And so now when you can give because you want to bless the kingdom, not because someone is really just asking and there's a need, but you want to be able to be the one that's going to bless the kingdom. And while you're giving, that seed is blessing the kingdom. It's going to invoke a blessing back unto you. So when you direct your seed to bless the kingdom, it invokes the fourfold blessings that I just talked about and how it's going to rebound back as being a blessing unto God. And so I pray that this gave you a clarity and gave you a greater understanding of the law of harvest. Whatsoever a man sow, he shall reap. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. So think in terms of sowing or blessing the kingdom of God bountifully. And then as you bless the kingdom of God bountifully, guess what? God's going to bountifully bless you. Amen? God's going to bountifully bless you, child of God. And so in my closing, I pray that the bountiful blessings of the Lord will come to you as you become a bountiful giver of that which God has entrusted in your hand. Also, in my closing, remember that God is the tithes belong to the Lord. Those are the Lord's tithes. And as you give your tithes, God's going to bless you because they belong to him. That 10% of your increase belongs to the Lord. And as you give up your tithes to your church, and if you're not in a church, you say, well, I don't have a place to give my tithes, you're welcome to tithe into Shekinah Glory. And I can be sure to get you that information. And our mailing address would be 326 Union Avenue, Northeast, number 2, Renton, Washington, 98059. And again, I'll repeat that again. That's Shekinah, or you can do SGT, 326 Union Avenue, Northeast, number 2, Renton, Renton, Washington, WA, 98059. Because you must pay your tithes, child of God, because those are the Lord's. They belong to him. And things. And God said, would a man rob God? Or would a woman rob God? And things. Those tithes belong to him. And things. And for that they may be meat in his kingdom. And things in his house. And things. And so as you begin to operate in the principles of the Lord, that's where you're going to release the blessings of God in your life and things, and move from sparingly to bountifully and watch God tremendously bless you. I just felt a shifting in the spiritual realm right there for somebody just shifted and things and recognize that, oh, that's why things are not really flowing like they could, and it's flowing for somebody else because they're a bountiful giver. They give cheerfully. They give readily. They operating in the principles of God. And so it's invoking kingdom blessings to them. And so if you want to invoke kingdom blessings for your life and for yourself, start invoking the blessing by blessing bountifully and things, giving out of your abundance. Give abundantly, and God is going to abundantly bless you, child of God. And so I'm going to close early on today. This has been a tremendous blessing, time to be able to be on the air with you. And I know that God is going to tremendously bless you, child of God, and things. And remember, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one prayer away from the blessings of the Lord, because truly the blessing of the Lord maketh us rich, and it adds no sorrow with it. And I pray for you. A no sorrow blessing in your life today. May God richly bless you is my prayer. And if you get a chance, rate the show if this has been a blessing unto you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to rest, rule, and abide henceforth and forevermore in your life. Until we meet again at our next session, may God bless you.